Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, people. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside Fracas. I'm currently going to hijack the episode because right now I'm wearing my Nigeria shirt. So before we go any
not
further,
carry last.
Nigeria, no, they carry last. For the English speakers amongst us, that means hold that. Nigeria, rise it. But yeah, of course, welcome back to another episode. I'm with my merry men, my boys here. I got the executive producer, of course, never amiss, Jordan.
Hey, hey.
She's got a mic now, you know.
Yeah.
That's our Parks.
That's our Parks right there.
Call her Drives.
Holding us down. Holding us down right there. Then, of course, we've got my boy Shaq. Miami Heat's finest. How you doing, bro?
We're good out here. We're good.
And then, of course, the realest Rasta in charge, Reams.
One more time for his Imperial Majesty.
What jobless?
Yeah.
No man can curse. Yeah. But, of course, before we begin, let me plug the socials. It's just formally at this point. We've got at Courtside Fracas on Instagram, at Courtside Fracas on Twitter, at Courtside _ Fracas on the TikTok, and of course, Courtside Fracas on the YouTube. Make sure you click follow, subscribe, engage with the pages, of course. But the YouTube, make sure you subscribe to that. You'll see the visuals. You'll see the handsome men. You won't see Jordan, because you don't see Parks either.
She ain't getting a camera.
That's just the way it is, yeah? We ain't got that kind of budget just yet. But of course, like, subscribe, all of that good business. But yeah, let's get straight into it.
NBA.
Ball of basketball. Breaking news. Pascal Siakam.
What a trade.
He's on his way to the Indiana, he's at the Indiana Pacers. Now, me personally, fantastic trade. We'll get into it. I'll talk you through the details of that, of course. But before that, I would be personally fuming if I lived in Toronto and then they said, big man, you're on your way to Indiana, man. Indiana.
I don't know, man. It's like -5 in Toronto right now.
Yeah, it's cold as shit out there. Like, Toronto's a cool city in that, but I think, you know what it is with these destinations, yeah? When you're a multi-millionaire, I think you can make anything good.
Can you make Indiana good?
I don't know if you can make Indiana good.
You can maybe make
Gary
Indiana,
Indiana good. Are you sure?
You could, man.
Go see Michael Jackson's house that you grew up in.
You can live on the outskirts maybe and travel in.
What's near Indiana?
Where can they live? We'll just hope that they're just on the road all the time. So potatoes.
Is it near Chicago?
Yeah.
I don't know my US geography like that.
It's like the Midwest. So what's in the Midwest?
I'm gonna do my Googles for that one.
I don't know America.
I don't know, but I feel like I feel like Masai Ujiri finally he was being very sentimental.
Yes.
Towards the team that won that 2019 team.
Yes,
that won the championship. Obviously, we know Pascal Siakam was a big part of that. I think he was their second highest scorer. He won the most improved player that year.
Indeed.
He's been an all-star under Masai. And like, he's kind of one that I believe they drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
They developed him, you know, mm-hmm. through his early years. So I guess Masai has a real like kind of sentimentality towards him as a player. And he would have loved for him to be like the franchise guy.
I think he tried for a bit.
But like, it's been 3 seasons now.
Nothing's really come of it.
Has Toronto really, like, I would say they was like moving sideways, but this season, last couple seasons, they probably even started to move down.
But I'd say this season, why you would say that, why I can see that they took a bigger step down is because they lost Fred VanVleet for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, losing him for absolutely
another
nothing.
Another guy that they developed. Yeah. Undrafted free agent. Yeah.
And so now, I think from that 2019 team that won, I think there's only one player left in the squad that's actually there. I think it was him and it was Pascal and that other player. I forgot who it was.
Chris Boucher.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's talk about who they gave up for Pascal. So, the Raptors received Bruce Brown via the Pacers.
Decent rotation piece.
Kira Lewis via the Pelicans.
Squad filler.
Jordan Nwora via the Pacers.
Squad filler.
That's salary
cap
filled. They got
three first rounders.
Yeah. Two 2024 first round picks. And from, via the Pacers. And then a conditional 2026 first round pick.
I think it's the worst pick from, is it the Wizards or the Thunder?
It's just they're both theirs.
I thought one of the picks was from the Thunder, their worst pick.
I'm not entirely sure, but what I've heard is all three of the picks were via the Pacers, but it wouldn't surprise me if another one came from there. And then, of course, the Pacers received Pascal Siakam.
That's it.
And a future second round pick. The Raptors additionally waived Christian Coloco.
Indeed.
And then, of course, by adding Kira Lewis, it meant that they could, that Indiana could match Siakam's salary without adding another player.
Indeed.
So, yeah. What this means, let's talk through Pascal Siakam's time so far. At the moment, he's averaging 22.2 points a game, 6.3 rebounds, 4.9 assists, in 34.7 minutes a game.
I believe he's shooting, 52% from the field, 31% on three pointers as well?
Yeah, we know that's three point shooting,
more or less correct to a T, 52.4 from the field, 75.8 from the line, and then 31.7 from beyond the arc.
He could take up that efficiency from the line a little bit more, but I think for Indiana, like if you think offensively, this works a treat for them, in my opinion.
This works. A treat is a downplay. This is perfect.
He's replacing Obi Toppin in the lineup, and all Obi Toppin was really offering in the lineup was vertical spacing. You know what I mean?
Obi Toppin will give you about 8 transition points.
What?
And that's about it.
What?
But now,
I don't know, those were good 8 points, you know.
No, they were. But
those transition points, they was running teams off the court with them.
So the funniest thing is that I think the Toronto Raptors are the second best team in the league at transition points. Who's the first best team?
Probably whatever team Russell Westbrook plays on.
No, Indiana Pacers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then Pascal Siakam is the highest scoring.
Wait, sorry. You said Toronto are second
in fast break points.
Wow, this is a match
exactly.
made in heaven.
And then Pascal Siakam is the highest scoring player in transition. Who is the highest scoring assist leader in transition?
Tyrese Halliburton.
Bro?
Wow.
Perfect. I'm telling you, perfect.
And
it's
got him
crazy.
Next to a five that could really space the floor. We 100%. Know Siakam, you don't want to clog the paint when you have Siakam because he's gonna slash. He's a slasher.
I'll give you better stats as well. I've been looking into this trade, right?
Yeah. So I like that. That's
the
Yassin
James effect. So hear this, right? So this year, Pascal Siakam is en route to having his most amount of made dunks and layups in a single season. He's going to do a career high in dunks and layups this season. What team leads the league in the most dunks and layups and points in the paint?
I know.
Me. Indiana Pacers.
It is a match made in heaven. And then when it comes to 3-point shooting again, a lot of he's shooting 31% this year. Is it 31.7?
31.7.
Yep. It's his fourth lowest or something like that. I think he's done 36 before, 35 and then 32.
So you would assume there'd be an uptick in terms
there will probably be an uptick.
I don't have the stats to hand. Do you have the stats to hand?
I don't.
Is his volume up or down this season?
I can check that right now.
Yeah.
I believe it's a little bit up. However, on top of that, it's also there's a lot more off the dribble. Because he's been doing ISO and 3-point shooting. With someone like Tyrese Halliburton and a team like this,
wide open,
you don't want to see, I can literally give you I've driven in and I can hand out, you have more space for you.
I would be curious to see what.
So they're actually slightly down, but he's in line. He's
with
in
his
line
career
with his career. So last year,
I see that this volume ticking up.
This year,
on the
Pacers. You say that, but this year he's at 31.7. From the three, so 1.2 shots made per 3.7.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was 1.3 to 4. The year before was 1.1 to 3.3. So the best of his career is 34%.
I would be curious.
36.
I would be curious.
36, but that was in his third year. And
yeah.
Obviously not the player.
Then he done 35 the year afterwards, right?
He did. I've got that right here. It was 36, 35, then dropped to 29.
Yeah.
I would be curious to see where him and Obi Toppin rank in terms of like 3-point shot difficulty, because the ones that like right at the bottom are the ones that are getting wide open, like your Russell Westbrook, your fucking Kyle Anderson.
They're leaving you to shoot.
They're leaving
and
you
if
to
you
shoot.
Make it, then my
and
bad.
The guys were like with the toughest 3-point shot difficulty would be your Steph Curry's, you get what I mean? Yeah. So I'd be curious to see where him and Obi Toppin, like you have to go on like Cleaning the Glass or like one of them journalists.
One thing I would
nerd
add to that
websites.
As well. One thing I would add to that as well. His contract's expiring.
Indeed.
He's currently making $37 million this year. So what do you think the future of this trade is at the moment?
I think it's up to Pascal because he's a restricted free agent, right?
Indeed, he is a restricted free
agent. So people are saying, like, listen, they've given up 3 first round picks for someone that could be a 6-month rental or what have you. But I feel like a lot of these things, if you look through history, a lot of these things are kind of dictated on, like,
how well they do
and the vibe.
But I would also say this, when it comes, so I have a very big gripe when it comes to trades that involve picks. I also think that picks are like fantasy.
Give me the player.
I say 90% of the time, give me the player.
Yeah.
But depending on the player that I'm going to send out. Like for me, like if we take back to OKC for Paul George, you gave them all those picks and SGA is a bad trade. But in this instance, 2 first rounders and you don't really know who you're going to get in that
2024
like,
as well.
Have it, man. For me, have it.
I think the perfect example of this is I remember a couple of years back, might be like 2020, when the Celtics traded for Derek White.
Okay.
And like obviously these times I was like on the courtside account and what have you, and there was a lot of Celtic fans in my mentions moaning that they gave up a first round pick. I think even Yasin James.
And the thing is, when you're a good team, what business do you have with first round picks? You're winning
exactly,
games.
Exactly, bro. That first round pick is going to be like the 27th pick in the draft. The kid's like in the 8th grade. He's not a real player yet.
Yeah, like
Derek White is a real
winning basketball player,
winning starting NBA level player, and now look, he's the MVP this season. So I'm sure that fucking first rounder.
Yeah, I think what people need to understand is that picks aren't anything until they're here.
Yeah,
right. They're a player, and most times when it's like, oh, you're going to give up something that you could get the 3rd pick, unless it's like a Doncic, Wemby level player that you know is going to come through in this draft. Most of the times we look at our draft picks, it's the 15th pick is now the best player.
When was the last time Celtics hit on a draft pick anyway, bro?
When was the last time teams, besides, I say, Spurs, let's see.
That was 2017.
Damn, already. Yeah. How many good first round pick, like first choices have been, okay, we're still here?
There's some teams that hit like every, but like there was a period of time where everyone thought like the Memphis Grizzlies was hitting on all their picks, but if you look through it, it's really only Desmond Bane they've hit on recently. Yep. Isaiah Williams was a bust,
and then Jaren Jackson's older now.
Jaren Jackson was the 4th pick, so like
in the top five, second.
When you're in the top five, it's harder to miss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're talking about when you come out of the top 10 into the back end of the lottery, into the back end of the first round.
Like that's whatever, bro. That's a crapshoot.
But then you know when picks might be really good. When you have a core of RJ Barrett, who is quite young, Scottie Barnes, who is very young, and then you're going to build them to be your main stars, and then you can draft other players around those players too.
100.
So it's basically...
You know Scottie Barnes is going to be your guy.
Scottie Barnes is... They invested in him now.
What you need to draft.
That's it.
Around him.
That's it. Probably get me a center. Get me some three-point shooting because he can actually like lay the ball off as well.
Yeah.
Give me pieces around it, and that's when picks come into play. If you want to be in a winning time now, which they are, right? I think the Indiana Pacers are in a winning section of the league, especially in the Eastern Conference. A pick don't mean nothing to you.
Facts.
So give them up and get yourself a player who is, like we said, 29 years old, suits your system very well, and can
also
actually get your bucket.
A proven scorer in this league. In 5 out of his 8 seasons, he's averaged over 20 points. So that's a proven score that you can add to the team.
I see this trade having kind of like a similar impact to the Sabonis.
To Kings?
Sacramento trade.
Yeah.
So you pair a superstar caliber point guard, obviously Tyrese and Darren.
I was gonna say that Siakam was superstar. I was like, hey,
with an all-star level big, and like it works out because like Fox isn't really a playmaker, but Sabonis is,
mm-hmm.
and Siakam isn't really a playmaker, but Halliburton is,
and they can both score the ball.
You know what I mean? So I see this team at worst being a 50-win team, 51 to 52 wins,
which makes the East very interesting.
That's if Pascal like resigns.
So for me this year. Well, in the next few weeks, let's give it time until Tyrese comes back. Obviously, he's done his hamstring, I believe.
He did,
from that slip on the court, right?
He did, yeah.
So he's out for, I think, another week or two. I think they're reevaluating it next week. But after that, it's if this team is healthy and they play the way that we're expecting them to, where Pascal can kind of fit in like a glove, I think they can take the East.
Controversial.
I don't think it's that controversial.
I'm saying
I never expected you to say that.
Yeah, I think that is controversial,
but also I also think even if he doesn't re-sign, they're not any worse having given up a few first rounders and some of the players they gave up.
Them first rounders could have been used for another move. True. So
depending who they became.
But then you obviously have to see what the free agent class is saying at that point as well.
That's the risk of a trade. And then first round has also been trash.
I think Tyrese is someone that guys will want to play with, especially a guy like Siakam.
Which is something he discussed with Kevin Garnett recently. How is it like to come and get players to come and play with you? He's like, bro.
Well, Kevin Garnett struggled with that for the first.
And he just said, bro, if you're doing the business, then people will come to you, innit? You know what I'm saying? So
I think for me, with Toronto, there's nothing to really look at in this besides let's see what you do for the future now. I think with Masai, we've seen that you've put all your eggs in one basket, which is Scottie Barnes, which is perfectly fine.
It's cultural reason.
Because realistically, since you've lost Fred, you've lost a bit of the culture that you had.
Lost DeRozan, you've lost Kyle.
Everything that was Toronto, they've said, okay, it's time to actually just like, I wouldn't even say blow it up, but move on.
When they win the ship, 2019?
Yeah. So they've moved on 4 years later. Essentially, this is 2023 to me. So 4 or 5 years later, which is fine. But then with Indiana Pacers, I think you took a leap forward to, I can contend with you. Me personally, if we say that our favourites for the Eastern Conference was going to be the Milwaukee Bucks.
And Philly. And Boston.
You have better options at scoring, in my personal opinion, than Philly because it's...
The one thing I will say for Indiana looking forward, this trade makes a really good offensive team better offensively, but...
Defensively.
Still doesn't make them a better defensive team.
Okay, but...
Pascal's a better defender than Obi Toppin.
Of course.
He's a better defender than Obi Toppin.
But he's not his priority.
But, like, there's still not enough good defenders in that core to be a good defensive team. They still don't have any, like, point of attack. I guess, like, the best one is Aaron Nesmith.
Yeah.
So that would probably be their lineup. It'll probably be Halliburton, or you say Andrew Nembhard, or... Is Buddy Hield still there?
Yeah,
it'll probably be Halliburton, Buddy Hield, Nesmith, Siakam,
Miles Turner.
Now, then you have like
Turner 7 foot. So he's not that kind of.
Then you have Nembhard and Ben Mathurin and those kind of guys off the bench.
But then the thing is, so again, I think you can't move Buddy Hield at the moment. I think they looked at that earlier on, especially like he asked to move, but you can't move him, and you're not going to move Halliburton. So in reality. Your defensive problems are mainly them two players.
They need to get a strong, like someone like Alex Caruso.
Yeah, but
or like a Jalen Suggs.
I don't see you getting them.
Yeah, obviously those two probably aren't realistic, but that's the type, the ilk of player they need to put Pascal next to Tyrese. Siakam
can guard the perimeter decently at the very least, and he can put a stop to what you need. So for example, if it's going to go down to a 7-game series against the Bucks, going from Siakam on the perimeter to Miles Turner in the paint and you're Giannis, it's not gonna stop him. But I think Giannis
is a pest.
No, but Giannis averages something like 25 points against Pascal Siakam. If you put Giannis to 25 points in a game,
but he averages decent. Like 40 against Miles Turner.
But that's why you got someone there to irritate beforehand.
And again, Pascal Siakam's what, 6'8" and wingspan, so he's obviously useful. He'll never get beaten up on the perimeter.
He's obviously better than Obi Toppin
on the ball. The issue with a lot of these guys is one, effort, which they obviously dial up when it comes to the playoffs, and a lot of the things as well is just off ball, where they're all asleep anyway, which is why we call a lot of these guys bad defenders. So off the ball, Pascal Siakam isn't very aware of where he is on the basketball court, but with his hands, I think it's not an issue, because again, just open your arms wide, bro. You're like 7 foot wingspan, you'll be all right.
And listen,
I'll say this as well, just quickly. Another problem that he had defensively, because when we ranked them defensively, it's the whole team. It's TJ McConnell. Once you go to the bench units, he just gets rinsed for his size. He works hard, but it's just not like...
It's the pest.
When we look at their defensive stats, he plays somewhat of a part into it. But that's your bench unit. I think on offense, in their starting unit, it can work, especially with Siakam in there. Bruce Brown did offer some stuff.
Yeah, Bruce Brown is probably one of their better defenders.
Yeah, that's the only problem. So, yeah. But you're adding a dynamic transition player to the best dynamic transition team.
It should fit like a glove, really. Yeah. We know things don't always work out that way, but I don't see why
it don't work.
It wouldn't, like, come on.
And then if it works and if it plays well and you're going to be 30 years old, would you re-sign for another team?
How much are they paying him? Because he's getting paid damn near 40 M's this year.
Yeah, but I'm saying, would you re-sign for another team if it works and you do a very good playoff run?
What's the most he's going to be eligible for at Indiana, though? Like,
I'm not a good contract person, I'm not going to lie to you.
It'll probably be like a little max contract, maybe a little 200 or
something.
That's
normally my bag.
5 year, 200 or something like that.
Or do you be getting about 45 a year? Over 5 years.
With Pascal, obviously expiring after this year. And I believe
I think he is eligible for, let's see, luxury taxes, save the Pelicans. I know that, but he's, no, after this year, it's unrestricted.
So what's he eligible for? Anything?
The max.
Okay, cool. Well, good luck to him. I still think that even if it's, if they make a good playoff run this year, it's a benefit for Indiana. And then next year they have free agency anyway, where if he leaves, it would free up, what, $37 million worth of space?
Yeah, more or less. Almost 40.
It's not too bad in business. But good trade. I think the two trades that we've seen so far, like bigger trades, being OG and then also and RJ, then this one, Toronto's at the depth of both of them. So you can see that with the kind of business that they're trying to make. So it's really good.
So who do you think's come out better at the end of this trade?
Both.
Better team.
Both.
Let's see if Pascal resigns.
Yeah. I think regardless, I'd say both, because I think, what's it called? Toronto are setting up their system of what they want to do. So it's not like they're saying, oh, we lost him because he wanted to leave us. It was...
I think Toronto getting three first rounders is perfect. But like, yeah, talk about for the Pacers, like, if he resigns, then...
It's even better for them. So what it stands right now with his contract is at the moment they can extend him for 2 years, 80 plus.
Whom?
But Siakam.
Okay.
But the plan would be to wait until free agency and sign a longer contract then. And because he's obviously unrestricted, there's more risk to that. However, they believe that Halliburton can have a recruiting impact. Of course, Halliburton's already got his contract, so that's not an issue. And they think that he's going to be eligible for up to 30% of the cap next season. So I believe that will probably end up as altogether over the 4 or 5 years, just under 200 M's probably for him.
Good for him.
So yeah, maybe just under that. So I'll find out what the Pacers cap is for next year and work for that. But from two All-Stars leading into All-Stars.
It's that time.
It's the third round of voting. It's that time. So we couldn't tell you where the All-Star game is this year.
Sorry, did we ever get the... Oh, we didn't even put it out.
We didn't put a poll out. Yeah. That's going to have to come next week.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
He's steady waiting.
Looking sheepish over there. But don't worry, we'll put you on the mic soon enough. But the All-Star break, soon approaching. We're through the third round.
Oh, the All-Star game is in Indianapolis, no? Yeah, I got invited there today. It's not happening. You know how much a flight is to Indianapolis?
How much?
My flight looked at 1,100 before any hotel or accommodation, nothing.
Indianapolis, you know.
Bruh, you can't get a direct flight.
So what, you have to fly to like JFK first?
Yeah, and that's where the bread really comes in. But yeah, Indianapolis is the location of it. So yeah. Oh, the 2-0.
Ghana for a bon 10. See, we're outside, baby.
We're multi-sports outside out here. It's a basketball podcast, but we're multi-sports out here. Them, man.
Black hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Indianapolis games. Oh, wait. Yeah, and we seen that they put a court inside the airport.
They did.
Yeah, so you can be all musty before you go on a flight.
Not me, good sir. Not me.
Can you imagine sitting on a plane next to a man after he's done a whole scrimmage? That's impossible.
Impossible. But while obviously it's in Indianapolis, so it's obviously only right to start up with the East. And of course, the front court. Once again, Giannis is leading fan voting at this point in time.
Sure. He's
currently got 4.3 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
Closely followed by Joel Embiid.
Sure.
He's actually not that far behind with 3.7. And then to round out the top five of the forwards, we have Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, and Jaylen Brown. So Jaylen Brown's the only one under a million within the top five. After Jaylen Brown, within off the front court, we have Kristaps at 6, Bam at 7, Paolo at 8, Julius Randle at 9, and Mikal Bridges at 10. So that's the top 10 for the forwards in the East.
How many forwards get picked?
How many forwards get picked? Rims, is it 3?
5?
I think you get 3 front court.
3 front court.
2 back court.
Yep.
And then I think you get 5 reserves. And I get think 5 reserves. 2 wild cards.
Yep. To make a 15-man roster, innit?
So Bam's not going to make it?
Bam will make it.
Is it 15 man? Is it not 12?
12. Yeah. So Bam should make it. Like you said, you get 3 front court.
Oh yeah, but you're doing for the East and the West.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant in overall. My bad. I'm tapped out.
So this is Eastern Conference front court.
Yeah.
And those are who are leading the vote. So Bam's currently 7th in that. And that's
crazy.
That's at the third round
seventh
of fan
in,
voting.
7th in the front court.
Yeah, in the third round of fan
so
vote.
So who's the six ahead of him?
Kristaps.
who else?
Not by a lot.
Who's over 5?
So, once again, Giannis,
cool.
Joel,
cool.
Jason Tatum,
cool.
Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown, then Kristaps. Then underneath Bam, we have Paolo, Julius Randle.
Wait, stop. Let's say one sec.
I'm not sure about those last two names.
Bro, I don't know how Jimmy's there.
Heritage.
So I say it's a popularity contest.
Jimmy, but that's the fan vote.
Is Jimmy even going to play enough games to qualify for any of, like...
Is he going to be fit for that game?
To be honest, fan voting only accounts for like 25%.
Yeah,
exactly. So more comes into it. And then, of course, Mikal Bridges and Julius Randle at the bottom of that.
Julius Randle's were low as well, bruv. Like.
Yeah.
But yeah, the difference in Kristaps and Bam isn't a lot. It's literally 20,000 votes, less than 20,000 votes. So it could change.
I'm going to have to vote 20,000 times real quick.
And then, of course, the guards leading it, the young bull. Tyrese Halliburton leading that, of course.
Yep.
He's got bare clout, bro.
He's got bare clout. 2.7 million votes. Following that, we have Shaq's boy, who was obviously most disrespected in charge.
Trey Young,
Trigger Trey. 1.8 million. Then, of course, we have Damian Lillard, which I think is another heritage vote. And fourth, we have Donovan Mitchell. Five, we have Tyrese Maxey. Six, we have Jalen Brunson. Seven, we have the MVP, Derek White, and closely followed by LaMelo, Drew Holiday, and DeMar DeRozan.
These things are really just popularity contests.
Yeah, so, yeah. LaMelo's in there. He's been injured how long?
And the quality slips once you get to the bottom of them. Once it gets to like seventh onwards, you just think...
Damian Lillard shouldn't be there.
He shouldn't be there, but he's also third in the vote right now. Yeah. He's had a lot of bad nights, and he's only just recently started.
Every time I go peep, just like a Bucks box score, he's shooting 30%.
Yeah, but how many guards
last night without Giannis, bro? He couldn't get them. He couldn't make the game competitive.
Yeah, but how many guards would you put in front of him
in the East?
Yeah, I get
Tyrese, like, Trey, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell.
They're all ahead, more or less.
That's fine.
They're all there.
Yeah, and then Jalen Brunson is the only one that's behind him that I would say should be ahead of him.
No, did you say Damian Lillard is third? Damian Lillard is third.
No.
Damian Lillard is third. He is third.
What? Oh, my bad. Yeah, I said tapped
with 1.7.
I thought he was fifth or sixth.
He's in the top five.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, clout. But again, album sales, isn't it? It's calm.
And then, so what do you think about the East so far before we get into the West? Any glaring people who've been excluded? Any people you think are currently too high amongst the fans?
Jimmy Butler. As much as I love him, that's motion more than anything else. Like, what's he actually done this season?
He's had some good performances, but he just hasn't played enough games.
I would have put Hero in that before. I'd have given Hero more votes than Jimmy.
I put Jaime Jaquez in before I put Jimmy.
Facts.
And Jimmy's got 1.3 million votes as of now.
It's crazy. But
again, that's heritage. And then down in the front court, like we've discussed, Damian Lillard maybe a bit too high so far, but I think that's just another heritage vote.
Derek White being seventh.
He's late in his 30s now. So.
Who else would be there though?
I know, but I'm just thinking.
The fact
Derek
that,
White in
the
seventh.
I think
is any
it's
of
consistent
the, is
with
any
them
the,
winning that many games.
Is any of the Orlando boys there, like Banchero?
Banchero's eighth in the front court.
Cool.
But the Celtics having that many players in the East is consistent with the fact that they're the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, the Celtics should have, bro, like they're going to,
maybe three.
Four All-Stars?
Three.
Nah,
three.
From
bro.
One team?
Three.
Bro.
Jalen, Jason, and Kristaps.
Three. At the max.
That's fine. Four is pushing it with Derek White.
I'm sorry. We stop putting role players into the All-Star game.
I'm fine with that.
Allow it, man.
Fucking Noah in them days. No.
Bro.
Back when the Atlanta Hawks had four role players.
Jeff Teague, bruv.
I shout out Jeff. Best podcaster in the game, but... Zima, sorry, bro. Like, you got that one on a technicality. And now to the West, where it's really popping. We'll start with the front court.
Can we stop that?
Dog fight.
Can we stop that?
Dog fight.
The East is
West.
A very popping side of the...
Oh, when you hear the names in the West, it's a dog
no,
fight.
No, I hear
it's
it. There's, dog there's fight no over star there. Names, but let's not act like there's no motion
in the
East.
Them guys are real competitive. It's nice over there, but this is we're on Billionaire's Row right now.
Go look at the top 10 teams in the West, and it's like...
Bro, it's a shootout.
I hear it. Go look
no
at the
team,
last...
No team's going to want to get
in
any.
The last 10 years of NBA...
Bro, you walked into the front row.
How many teams have been from the East that have won? Is it... The Bucks, and it would be the Cavaliers, and it would be Toronto.
Yeah.
So it would be five. It's Bucks. Five and five in the last Bucks. 10.
Well, Bucks.
Really?
Bucks
in the last 10 years? 10 years is what, 2014? So the San Antonio Spurs won it.
Yeah.
Then the Golden State Warriors won it.
Four times.
Cleveland. Golden State. Toronto.
Golden State.
Lakers.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Got two, no?
No,
they got
one. One.
Milwaukee. Golden State again. That's six.
Yeah. Lost,
Nuggets again. That's seven. That's 7-3.
Bro,
there's motion listen, out there, man.
Listen, you've walked into the Rolex store there's with a Grand Seiko one, bro. Listen, we're on Billionaire's Row right now. So out in the West, of course, league legend, soon on 40K, LeBron James, with almost 4 million votes, which is natural.
Can I stop you right there? Yeah, there's no way the Lakers should have two All-Stars this year, by the way.
You should have one at best.
So they got a pick. It's going to be LeBron or AD. Make a decision. It's going to be LeBron.
Okay, it has to be LeBron. He's leading the votes.
Yeah.
Then we have Nikola Jokic.
Easy.
Of course. Let me put it in perspective. LeBron has the second most votes in the NBA, of course, at the moment. Giannis has the most, of course. Mm. Which, of course. And then following that, we have Kevin Durant. Yep, at three. And then following that, Anthony Davis and Kawhi. And then we've got Reams boy with over 1 million votes.
This stinks.
Alperen Şengün.
How's that Kareem? Bro, that's my dog too.
Well, Alpi got that many votes.
One point.
He got more votes. Yeah. He got more votes than Rudy and Kat.
He's got 1,345,000.
Hey, bro. The Timberwolves got no motion.
Yeah, Houston got motion, baby.
We got no motion.
Houston's got motion out there.
I need to start voting.
We'll get down to Ant eventually. Yeah. But yeah, he has more votes than Ant. And then
I'm talking about Kat and Rudy.
Rudy.
Oh, right, is Rudy even there?
Nah, yeah. Rudy ain't making it.
Then we have Paul George.
Rudy ain't making it.
Rudy made the All-Star game.
I don't think he's making
it. Then we have Paul George.
It's Kat that might not make it.
Paul George still has a lot of motion. 800,000.
Paul George 100%. You could argue he's been the Clippers' best player this season.
Yeah, and he's got 5 Nike shoes, bro. He's going to be in the game no matter what. They say they're even retro in his joints now.
Congratulations on that, by the way. So yeah, the announcement is he was about to leave Nike, but nah, it's changed. They're going to retro his shoes now. So then PG 2.5s in the PlayStation colorway. When you see them on the feet, don't worry.
Cold.
I didn't pay for them.
What?
So you know.
I wouldn't wear them to the dance, but I would be wearing them somewhere.
Real talk. I only had the grey ones. I sold them.
Okay, we don't discuss that on the pod. Of course, Victor Wembanyama at 8, Chet Holmgren at 9, Domantas Sabonis at 10.
Should rookies be in an All-Star game?
Why not?
It depends on how good they're playing.
Depends on how good they're playing.
Go in the rookie game, innit?
I think
Victor, world versus I think
Wembanyama why, being there. Why can't they play in both?
Go do the world versus Sutton, man.
I think Wembanyama being there is just pure motion. Yeah. He's not, of course, they've performed at all.
I kind of like Wemby might, you know, Wemby, yeah, listen, Wemby might, Wemby might be pulling back that rookie of the year from Chet, you know.
Nah,
Wemby might be, yo, Wemby.
Nah.
He's third right now.
What? What is going on here? What is going on?
Listen, some of the stuff Wemby be doing on the court on a night-to-night basis is stuff we've never seen.
And what I don't like yet is I know he's fuming. He said, this fool couldn't play his rookie year and now he's coming to steal my shine in mine.
And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen now. From now until the end of the season, Wemby's going to get his stats as well. So he might finish the season on like 21-11 with like 4 blocks. Lead the league in blocks as a rookie.
Champions are made here, innit? UCLA.
Bonkers. Hey, but listen, UCLA is going to the finals, so we don't worry about rookie of the year. We don't have to worry about rookie of the year.
Amen, amen, amen.
UCLA is going to the finals, but
rookie of the year is going to be a UCLA person, so it's calm, isn't it?
Who?
My dog.
We finally got him to convert to UCLA. So all he needed was one hooper.
All he needed was one. Listen.
He wasn't familiar with our game.
Announcement, Shaq has actually got a UCLA T-shirt. He's in it.
Wow! It be the ones you don't even know under on our very nose.
It's in delivery still.
He was hating from inside the club.
From inside the club, not me.
There is. Listen, okay, wait. Let me explain.
Man, I don't even like rolling though. But you see my thing here, yeah.
Nah. Wow. One sec. First of all, it's in delivery from America. And it's still in LA, but it's getting delivered.
Is it a Jaime Hackers jersey?
No. It's a UCLA tee, Nike. Yeah. But then at the same time, you gotta understand, I'm not part of the UCLA motion.
You're chatting bear.
But the Jaime Hackers motion is like, you're playing for my team.
That's UCLA heritage.
That's UCLA heritage.
He was special at UCLA.
Like, he's special for Miami Heat, but I'm just doing what
he's
I got to do.
The work in, and then we got the guards.
Go on. I forgot we're talking about All
Star. Bro.
We digressed.
Go on.
Luca.
Yeah, sure.
With 3.2. Steph.
Cool.
Hey. Let me pause you right there again. When are we going to talk? Never mind.
We do this every week. If there's hating to be done,
I'll be back here.
We're going to have to revisit this, but.
We've done it like 4 pods in a row.
We're going to have to revisit this, yeah.
Especially this week. Let's watch it.
Third, we got Shea.
Cool.
2.3 million votes.
I was about to say, what?
Is he the MVP of the league?
I thought you said Chet.
And then at 4, I want to skip that question for now. James Harden.
What the fuck is he doing?
He said, who?
That's not like Scooby Doo, like.
That's like I see that llama in Miami.
What are you doing up there?
What's a polar bear doing in Arlington, Texas?
What are you doing up there?
Wow. Fourth.
Hey, Future got his fans to vote, boy.
Fifth, we got Kyrie Irving.
I hear that. Hey, you ain't seen the last 10 games.
Hey, listen, but niggas love the status quo, you know. They're always hating on young niggas, bro.
You ain't seen the last 10 games.
They've had their time.
How has Kyrie got more votes than Anthony Edwards?
You didn't see Le'Veon Bell cook him. Le'Veon Bell cook him last night with his fan duel.
No, I hear that. But at the same time, you got to remember this, yeah.
Kyrie missed like 20 games.
No, but in an all-star game.
How many games has Kyrie played this season?
In an all-star game, would you rather see a person do a couple middies or a Sham God? I'm trying to see the Sham God.
Ah, but that's not the criteria.
This is Showtime. This is Showtime.
Remember for Kyrie, it's okay. Injuries last week with Giannis. Not with Giannis, with Zion. Zion.
Yeah, but that's for like the quality of the player. We're talking about ranking.
Anthony Edwards is at 6.
Okay.
De'Aaron Fox is at 7.
Okay.
Ja is at 8. He's not making anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Can't play anyway.
9, we've got Devin Booker, 0 motion.
Yikes.
And 10, we have Austin Reeves.
Motion. That's motion.
Damn. Yo, you know Devin Booker has less votes than Derek White.
You don't deserve to be an all-star anyway.
Yeah, but come on, bro. Like, at least heritage or something, bro.
You got no emotion.
Hey, Reeves, you got to stop your hate on Austin Reeves, fam.
I don't hate Austin Reeves.
Bro, Devin Booker has less votes than Derek White.
Kyrie's played 26 games this season, man. Fuck out of here.
Out of what, 37?
Nah, more than that.
No, what's the criteria? You got to play like 40 games, no?
You have to pay...
To be an all-star, you got to be like 40 games or something.
Is that... That can't be the criteria.
I don't think
should be.
I think it's a bit I don't know. Kyrie shouldn't be an all-star though. There's no way the Mavs should have two all-stars and Timberwolves.
Kyrie shouldn't be there. I don't believe James Harden should be there. Devin Booker shouldn't be there.
It's gonna be a dogfight in the West. Cause look, front court.
Especially in the front court.
Front court, I reckon, okay, you're gonna have
There's seven people that deserve it.
You're gonna have KD, Bron, Jokic, Lox. Then I'd say there's two more spaces after that. So those two spaces are going to be between AD, Sabonis.
Kawhi's getting it.
Oh shit, Kawhi. And Paul George. Wait, how many? I really need to look into the all-star. But like, okay, cool. Like,
they get 5.
KD, Bron, Jokic, Kawhi, Paul George. That's 5. So there's two more left after that, yeah? And then 5 guard spots.
Yeah. Wemby's going to get one.
You think so?
Bro.
I think after that, it has to be out of AD.
He's European. Gobert, they're going to spite him.
AD, Gobert, Kat, Şengün,
Wemby,
Sabonis.
Bro,
Şengün got a lot of votes.
It's a popularity contest.
No, it's not, bro, because the media has to vote and the coaches have to vote. And the coaches and the players. So the media is not going to be a popularity thing. The media, they're going to go on like advanced stats and like, so Gobert will make it because he's the fucking defensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year always flipping makes it.
Shouldn't be.
Draymond made it. Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, but...
Obviously, Marcus Smart didn't make it, but he shouldn't be defensive player of the year.
I don't have any faith in the NBA to keep Wemby out of it. The thing that has been losing votes and losing views years by year that they had to redo how they do and redo the scoring...
Wemby in the All-Star game is must-see TV, to be
exactly.
honest.
So I think they're going to find a way to get him in there.
Yeah, but...
It's scary though.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you feel about the West in comparison to the East in terms of votes? Any people that you felt were potentially spited in that sense?
Everyone underneath James Harden. How is he 4th in votes in guards?
It's his name.
Oh, no more celebrations. Is it 2-2?
It's 2-2.
Oh, that's peak. Sorry, man. As I said, we're multi-sports out here quickly. But yeah, 2-2. Sucks to be them. But no, for me, James Harden being 4th, crazy. I don't 1,000%. Understand that.
I think we're at the stage where we can kind of discard fan voting.
But I like the fact that Şengün's been recognised.
Yeah, man, LP, he's a top 5 centre in my opinion.
He's playing for Houston, that's the point.
Yeah.
Well, they're void of centres in this league. Not to disrespect him.
I can't lie, but Chet and Wemby are local, innit? So.
Yeah.
So we got Jokic, Embiid.
I got 3 spots locked with him not in there.
Jokic, Embiid.
Bam. Sabonis?
AD's a centre, isn't he?
Get out of here, man.
Sort of masquerading as a 4 thing, he's a centre.
I'll take Şengün over AD at this moment.
I'm fine with that.
There's still Kat and Rudy.
Yeah, you can't hurt me with that, all right?
I'm not trying to hurt you.
Yeah, there's Kat and Rudy. But I think the gap between one and two and the rest is quite large. But yeah.
And then obviously, Shet and Wemby's coming through. I think eventually Evan Mobley will end up as a centre as well.
So we got some young up-and-coming talent within that as well. But of course, that's the all-star vote. And of course, next week, of course, we'll have the coaches through as well as the media. So we'll start seeing what that's shaping up like and seeing if there's any exclusions that are worth debating about. But then, of course, as always, we like to close the episode with some listeners' questions. And a few people came through, our loyal listeners.
How many questions did we get?
Five or six or so. So I'm going to go through them now. Right. Let's start with the first question so far. Right. Cool. Someone said, B-Fish, Ben Fish 17.
Oh, Ben Fish. That's my, Ben, I met him in store. I just told him about the pod. That's real cool. I like that.
That's what's up.
Go on, Ben.
Shout out, Ben. I'm phrasing this question a little bit differently, but what should the Warriors not do next?
Trade for Zach LaVine.
That would be a terrible idea. That would be terrible.
You know what? I think...
not what they need.
My thing with the Warriors that I would say that you shouldn't do is react like you are going to be champions. Just take the 5 to 10 years of a rebuild, take the regression, and understand that as a fan base, you are now here to suffer.
I think Bob Myers did a very good job of setting them up for the success that they are now. Mm-hmm. Then he left them in this because he didn't want to make the brave decisions. So whoever's following this has a very hard job to, one, rebuild, and two, they have a large fan base in a new stadium with expectations. Welcome to the NFL.
And I think what they should do, as a great member of this pod, a very good guest that we love to have here, Atlas once said, is hold that. That's what they are going to have to do for these next 5 to 10 years.
Amen.
There you go.
Right. Then we have, of course, the playmaker, Tommy Ajayi One. He hit me with a lot of questions.
Oh.
More than one in one. So, to be fair, I think firstly we'll do his Minnesota question because they need to be getting some shine. How can Minnesota improve their offensive issues? Because if they improve with the defense, they can win it all, in my opinion.
Didn't you say you would take Tyus Jones?
Sorry, what was the question?
So, how can Minnesota improve their offensive issues? Because if they improve the defense they can win it all, in my opinion.
I mean, there's not much we can do to improve the defense, especially. Offensively, turnovers is a big issue. Mm. And I mean, when your two best offensive players are Kat and Anthony Edwards, they're gonna fucking turn over the ball.
Yes,
two bozos. They're gonna turn over the ball. The
difference is one's 22.
Yeah, and is still raw. You get what I mean? Like Kat is a grown ass man now. He should have more sense. So I feel like we need some more playmakers. I think Nikhil does a good job when he gets those reps. I think Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson.
It might be time.
In the playoffs, it's going to be ugly, bro.
It might be time.
It's going to be ugly. I'm telling you, bro. They just don't pay attention to him, bro.
Yeah.
They don't pay attention. Then he gets the ball and he like
doesn't know
when he's supposed to shoot a wide open three. He'll like pump fake and go into a mid range and then throw up like a weird floater. Or like, bro, I'm the Kyle Anderson, bro. Listen, you've been a decent role player in your career, but bro, bring me a Tyus Jones. Bring me a flipping Alec Burks. Bring Tyus Jones
back home.
Bro, bring me someone that could really generate some offense and that like, defenses have to like pay attention to. Bring me a Bojan Bogdanovic. Bring me a Bogdanovic. Any of the bogeys. Bring me any of them. I don't mind.
You want like a step down, like a backup version of a Mike Conley.
But that would be Tyus Jones. That'd be Tyus Jones. Yeah, if I want someone like Bogey, he's done it in the playoffs as well. He could come on and give you 15 to 20. That's the one in Atlanta, not Bojan.
That's Jordan's.
Yeah, but Bojan, he could give you points as well, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And free, he spaced the floor area.
Yeah, 100%, bro. We could use some more shooters, bro. And the next thing we need to do, we need to somehow convince Karl Anthony Towns. You're 7 foot tall. You're a 40% 3-point shooter. Start letting it fly, please.
I think,
bro, if you had a player like that, would you want him shooting 4 threes a game?
No, but I think with him,
like 8.
Come on, bro.
It's got to be like 8.
I think he wants to keep the convert, like the percentage at that.
I think he's it, well, the thing is, yeah,
I think a lot.
The issue is he's 7 foot and he's shooting through again, which is an anomaly, but that's the new NBA.
You know, Kat, I like
also 7 foot, so he's doing Kat 7 foot.
Shit. Kat has this thing here where like he's premeditated what he's gonna do with the ball before it even comes to his hand. What the defensive players do in front of him
is it don't change what he's about to do,
bro. Like
it don't change his actions.
A guy will be sagging off of him and he will still pump fake. Like the guy is even closing out. Why are you pump faking? Like
no, but you know, like. I'll liken it to another sport. Like you see in boxing, we say like, oh, some fighters don't want to fight because they want to protect the zero.
Yeah.
They want to protect their unbeaten legacy so far, blah,
bro,
blah, blah.
Not,
I think that Kat is the same of, I am the best efficient 3-point shooter in the league as a big. And then I'm the best shooting big in the league. So if you go 0 for 8 in one game, people start looking at you like, hey, brother, what happened to that?
My theory is I don't think Kat wants to be known as a shooter, even though he's come out and said he's the best shooter big before. He doesn't want to be known as a shooter. He wants to, like, cause the other elite bigs, like your MBs and your Jokic's, they're known as all round offensive players.
Which
you know what I mean?
Wants, but Kat
doesn't want to be known as a shooter. He wants to be in that.
You think he wants to show his whole bag?
Yeah, he wants to show that he has a bag at them, man. Like, bro, give it a rest.
Sometimes do what you have to do, man. Shoot the ball.
Give it a rest now, bro. Like, Kat driving to the rim this season, like. There is as much of a chance of an offensive foul getting called as there is him like getting us 2 points.
The big meow.
You know what I mean? So, but listen, Kat's been great this season.
Yeah.
But we're talking about what could take us to the next level. Anthony Edwards, decision making, turnovers. Kat, letting fly, bro. Letting fly. And I think we really need to give Jaden McDaniels some more touches. Obviously, a lot of people are talking about he hasn't made an offensive leap. Bro, you can't make an offensive leap if the coach doesn't call your name. Ant has to get his, Kat has to get his, and obviously we're determined for Rudy to get his as well. So,
ew.
That doesn't
that's just ew.
That doesn't leave a lot for Jaden, but bro, listen, I could compile a compilation of Jaden's best offensive plays this season, bro. This kid's bag is so deep, bro. But like, I think it's going to have to get to the point where Chris Finch is going to have to be like, yo, listen, this is a kid we're going to have to lean on. Literally put the ball in his hands and tell everyone else. But you don't really want to put the ball in Jaden's hands when you have 40 million there, 40 million there, 40 million there. You know what I mean?
You're last in line, slim pickings. You're kind of you're like Tobias Harris is living off scraps.
Exactly.
So that's, and then his second question, which I think we can go in a bit on, so what are our dark horses for MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved and Rookie of the Year?
Halfway into the season, that's dark horses.
Dark horses, not your favorite.
Defensive player of the year.
So let's start with MVP.
Can Shea be counted as a dark horse?
Yeah, boy, he'll be about third in voting.
I guess Shea and Jason Tatum.
If I was to go for a dark horse, I'll say Shea because everyone thinks he's going to be Embiid.
Yeah,
and I mean, if it be Jokic.
It is Embiid right now.
Yeah,
we Embiid. All agree. Yeah.
And then I think Jokic will probably be second in voting. So if Shea's third, I'll say he's my dark horse for it.
I say Jason Tatum then.
I'm going to go Jason Tatum as well.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Because dark horse, I don't think it's just.
I think by season's end, the Celtics are going to have 63 wins. They're going to be top five in offense and defense. Tatum's going to be averaging like 28-8.
28-8.
And then that MVP noise is going to start picking up.
But for me, in the last few stretches in the last few stretch of like, I say 2-3 weeks of the Celtics,
he's been there.
Jaden Brown's been the main player that's getting over there.
Yeah, the worst thing is is probably the best team Tatum's been on. Yeah, but like this isn't one of his best seasons.
And maybe that's why it's one of the best seasons they had.
Maybe that's why.
So,
that's
why I don't put him as dark horse. Dark horse. So with DPOY, right? I think a big thing that people, like, I think Rudy Gobert's going to get it, right? I would give it to Bam. Because
he's more versatile.
He guards the perimeter and also the rim. And I think it's like,
but defense player of the year for so long has been who blocks the most shots.
Yeah, and I'm a bit bored of that because I watch.
Then it would be Wembanyama then, isn't it? That's not.
Yeah.
It's who, bro, like, the thing with Rudy, bro, like, it's hard to, like, contextualize it if you're not watching.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff he does that doesn't show up in, like, stocks. Like, bro, like, I'm watching him play against the Boston Celtics. I'm seeing Jason Tatum beating his man off the dribble, going to the rim and just turning it down and kicking it out to a Drew Holiday.
Fact. I've seen multiple people that, oh, I'm going for a layup. I've done my 1-2 step. If Rudy turns around, they'll kick the ball out. Like, facts. But I've seen Bam guards, small forwards, your best offensive player on the perimeter. I've seen him have to go against your best center in the paint. like game after game after game. Like his offensive output has gone up so much, but his defensive output hasn't lowered at all.
Can I throw out a serious dark horse?
Go on.
Herbert Jones.
I hear it.
Herb Jones be having people in hell.
Yeah.
Herb Jones be having, and I think since he's come back into the lineup, maybe over the last 10-15 games or so, I think the Pelicans have, like, if not the top five defense, like top three.
Yeah.
Imagine getting locked up by someone called Herb.
Yeah, Herbert's crazy. And yeah, Herbert's crazy. And he's giving you like 15 on the end as well. Like, yeah,
that's a crazy middle American name.
Yeah. What else we got?
That's a Martin Luther
name right there. MIP.
It's the most improved player.
I got a dark horse for that.
Let's go.
So I think that a lot of people are going to say it's going to be what, Tyrese Maxey or something? Ugh.
I don't think
I like Şengün.
Şengün's been good.
I think that man's careers are too, they're too early into their careers.
I got two players for this. Yeah, because I was talking about this the other day. Kobe White. Yes, sir. Gone from 9 points per game last season to 14 points per game this season.
I'm rocking with that one. Shooting 40%
from three. I think 44% from the field. But I got another one that I think people aren't really watching, right? And his team is winning as well. Jalen Williams. He has taken a very big step this year. 52% from OKC. The field. Yeah.
He's in his second year, but he can't win it.
Why not?
He can't. Bro.
You went up from doing up for 11 points per game last season to 14.
Wasn't he first team all rookie last year?
I don't even watch all rookie year.
Yeah, but no.
I think Jalen Williams can win. Why can't you win most improved player from your second year?
Because you're supposed to improve. That's how it works.
Yeah, but to the step that you're doing.
Man, come on, man.
To the step that you're doing.
You got older so you can run faster.
No, come on, bro. It's different, though. He's shooting more efficiently. He's from the free and from the field.
Bro, you can't go and from all rookie first team to he was all rookie first team last year as well.
Oh, was he? Come on. Yeah. Playing as what? A shooting guard or something like that?
Yeah, he averaged 14 a game last year, man. Come on, man.
What's he averaging this year?
Probably around 17.
It's an improvement, no?
Yeah, but not like...
I don't think it's the step that Kobe White's taken.
I don't think that, bro, Kobe White, I love that Kobe White one because Kobe White's been in the league for about 5 years now. Mm. His first 5 years, he's pretty much been like a bench guy that they thought that hasn't really hit the heights. And this year, he's really like taken over the reins as a starter.
To be fair to him, the team went in different directions while he was there twice. So when he first got drafted there, they weren't much. And then they brought DeRozan, obviously Zach LaVine as well. And then now, they're at the end of that now. And obviously now we're starting to get a shine. But that's over like a 5 year period because for a time they were trying to win when they had him, Vooch. When they had Zach Vooch and DeRozan.
Yeah.
So he hasn't really had the chance to obviously like stake a claim like, yo, I can actually play. So no, yeah, I think
I really love that most improved start for Kobe White. I'm trying to think like who else
could qualify.
Yeah, like
so no second year players.
Well, Kobe White's gone from 9.7
to what, 14 or something?
To 18.5.
18, run him the award, man.
Come on, man.
I think people are going to vote for Tyrese Maxey because he's had the bigger name around
it. But I think even Tyrese, bro.
I don't go for Tyrese.
Like his fourth year?
Bro, okay, this is Kobe. Okay, this is Kobe White, yeah. He started his first season 13 a game. Second season 15. That's a normal, like, rookie to sophomore jump. He's then dropped down to 12 a game. Then he's dropped down to 9 a game. I know he's back up. Best season of his career, 18.
That's the game was last year, right?
Yeah, that's the most improved player, bro. You get me?
No, I hear it.
Yeah.
Situation.
No, I like that. I'm rocking with your Kobe White shout.
And then finally.
What about UK? Any shouts?
I can't be any second year players. So I think if anything, Tyrese Maxey is probably the favourite. And Dark Horse, I think Kobe White is probably that one, I'd say.
I don't know. Maybe you could throw like a Naz Reid in there.
Could you throw Scotty Barnes in there? He's taking a big jump. He's taking a very big jump.
Jalen Suggs only second year, isn't he?
He's
Jalen Suggs.
Jalen Suggs. I think Jalen Suggs is in his third year.
I like that one as well.
But I like the Jalen Suggs one because he's coming as like a top five pick, and he's looked like a bust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now he's looking like a proper NBA starting caliber player.
Before we say Jalen Suggs, what about Franz?
No, but Franz's progression is a natural progression.
He
was in a rookie of the year race, took another jump this year, and he's took a jump towards like all-star this year. So like
if I'm going dark horses, I literally think that they're going to give it to Tyrese, yeah. I would say Kobe White would be my one, then I'd probably do Scottie Barnes as my number two.
But
I like the story more for Kobe White.
I feel like the Kobe White one fits sort of the criteria that I would look for in most improved. I think the Tyrese Maxey one, he's gone from, what did he have? He's gone from...
Like 22 last year or something.
He's gone from 17 to 20 to 26.
Yeah.
So I guess this year he's playing at an all-star, close to all NBA level from last year where he was outside of the...
But the difference is, when it comes to his points, is that there's been a lot of times when Embiid wasn't available. So he's put up big numbers.
He's had an increased responsibility as well.
Yeah.
Since he's taken over the James Harden role. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, no, I'd give it to Kobe White personally.
Fair play.
I like Kobe White, and then Jalen Suggs for me. And then finally, Rookie of the Year.
Dark horse. Obviously, the dark horses will be Jaime Jaquez, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Jaime. I think
we're the thing is that Shet had a little bit of a patch like 2 weeks ago where for a few games he
struggling.
He was struggling, and then Wemby's beginning wasn't too great.
Yeah.
Like Jaime hasn't had a bad week.
Thing with Jaime, like he from the beginning, and Wemby and Chet have been starters on their team.
Mm.
I think Jaime like started to earn more and more minutes to where now like he's a 35 minute.
And he averages the most minutes in the fourth quarter in across the whole league.
Is that true?
Yeah, he averages the most minutes in the fourth quarter across the whole league.
That's a great
stat. And he's got I think he's third or fourth in the most clutch points in the fourth quarter across the whole league.
Jaime, bro, in another year, Jaime could have been Rookie of the Year easily.
Yeah.
But he's fallen into the class of two unicorns.
I'd say I think I've watched a few Trailblazers games of recent, and Scoot's picked it up. He started off really crap. But
I think it's too late for Scooter though.
Yeah, he's not gonna get. Yeah. No.
The only one after that would be I feel like Brandon Miller's year's going really under the radar.
I think he's going under the radar because of what it was like with Scoot and stuff, but he's actually had a very good, consistent year.
Bro, he was never gonna get any, I think he's been having a perfectly normal year for a rookie, but he was never ever gonna get any noise because of the two big names
that just came in,
Wemby and Chet.
He's having a very good consistent
and the team he plays for as well.
And again, he's playing for a team that's been sans LaMelo. And unless he's going crazy, no one's really checking what's going on in Charlotte, unfortunately. And then finally, our favourite hater.
Oh, Steiner.
Lacastina.
Who did he hate? Okay, wait. Did he hate on either Trae Young, Devin Booker?
It's going to be a biracial.
Or KD.
Yeah,
I don't know what he has against his people.
He's biracial, girl. It's going to be, so, one of the, we got that one. So, D-Book or Embiid, who will have the greater choke in the playoffs this year?
The worst thing is, bro,
I don't feel right answering this personally.
If the playoffs started right now, bro, the Suns would be playing the Timberwolves, bro.
And they're getting, it's not even a choke, they're just getting smoked.
You're going to get smoked?
The Suns are getting smoked.
My
aunt, that would be so good. I would love to send KD back in the playoffs. I'd love to have that on my CV.
I think it would be 4-0. Genuinely.
You really think so?
No, I think it would be genuinely
4-0. That's peak.
They're not valid.
I feel like the best the Suns could do in that series is
4-2.
Run KD at the 5.
Yeah.
If they run KD, that's the best chance of winning that series. Run KD at the 5.
They're not winning. There's no way they win.
By the end of the series, KD is going to be dead. But like,
but there's no, they're not winning that series, bro. I'll tell you that right now. If
the
playoffs started right now, they're not winning.
Okay, if I'm going to go for the biggest choke, they got OKC. They winning that?
Nah, you don't want to play
old
that.
Old man, they don't want to play OKC, but they'll win.
You don't want to play that. You don't
they'll win. But they
if I'm
going
to go for the biggest choke to answer the question, it would be Embiid, simply because of what we expect for the team to
do. Yeah, I don't think a Devin Booker choke is moving the needle. Like,
I don't think anyone thinks the Suns are going to do
after
well.
After game 7 against the Mavs, and like everyone was making more fun of Chris Paul, like,
no one cares about Devin Booker.
If you look at Devin Booker's elimination game stats, they are putrid.
Can I just say that I think both teams are going to be knocked out of the playoffs? I don't think either one of them are going to go to the finals. So,
okay, yeah. No, obviously the Suns definitely aren't.
Yeah.
The Sixers have a chance.
Yeah. They do have a chance, but I don't think they're going
to
do it.
How you got your
I think Embiid at the minimum. Embiid at the minimum has to make the conference finals this year.
Fact.
All of his peers in his age group have made the conference finals.
That point that you made there, which is, I think, a fact, is why it's going to be a bigger choke than what Booker would do.
Devin Booker's lucky because he's playing with bigger names than himself, so he always gets put in the background.
Devin Booker just don't have motion like that, man.
Yeah, he don't.
But he's got his own shoe. But that shoe is, sorry, terrible.
No, it's sold out for 5 minutes.
That's on them.
They must be having money in Arizona, bro.
It looked like a chucker boot that you wear to a yard with. It looked like a Clark's boot.
It was meant to look like a lifestyle shoe.
What?
It was meant to look like a lifestyle shoe.
I said, like a lifestyle shoe.
Yeah, that's what it wanted to be.
Get them Anthony Edwards, man.
Yeah, but
but apparently the traction on them is awful.
Is it?
Yeah, people be complaining about the traction for them still.
Hey, we'll get into the shoe reviews for the TikTok on another day. But of course, those are all listeners' questions for now. And again, we appreciate your listeners for listening in, of course. Before we slide, Nigeria, I know they carry last, of course. We're doing the job. Don't know about them other man in West Africa, but we did our thing. Smoked the hosts. And then, of course, at Courtside Fracas on TikTok. Courtside underscore Fracas, apologies, on TikTok. At Courtside Fracas on YouTube. At Courtside Fracas on Instagram. And finally, at Courtside Fracas on TikTok. Make sure you engage with all the pages. And of course, we're trying to grow our YouTube following. That's why we record these visuals for you beautiful people. Get involved, subscribe, like, subscribe. We'll give you more context, more shorts, more videos. Watch the episodes. And then again, my good people, peace.
Peace.
Love.
Sports Social Podcast Network.